As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner, Brandon Quinn on golf duty this week. So we're going to talk college football here in May with Austin Meek. Austin, we had John a couple weeks ago as the bearer of bad news, but now you're back to talk some hopefully positive stuff anyway about Michigan football. How's it going?
Good. Not as bad as it could be, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think, you know, Michigan fans were feeling a bit nervous a couple weeks ago when Mo Linguist leaves after a couple months on the job. But I think the attitude has improved considerably since then.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about today, because I think we were going to talk about this and some other things came up. But it's a good topic for an episode in that the Mo Linguist departure and the Steve Klinkscale arrival is sort of the story here. And that's, you know, Linguist leaves, and Austin, what was that? Maybe 2 weeks ago, we'd heard that this was probably going to happen, or at least it looked like it was certainly probable. And the immediate thought that goes into your head is, well, you know, we've seen Harbaugh have staffing changes in awkward times before. It hasn't always gone, you know, the transition hasn't always gone as smooth as it could. I guess when he left, what was your first sort of reaction and maybe how you thought this would go?
You know, there's a lot of skepticism, I think, in college football circles about these offseason moves that Michigan has made and basically whether it's going to be enough to get things right back on track for Jim Harbaugh. I think even, you know, even the moves that look good on paper, like, you know, Mo Linguist, when Michigan hired Mo Linguist, he was exactly what Michigan needed at that time and right, helped Michigan land the most important recruit on their board in Will Johnson. So, you know, I think people are maybe always, you know, and I think the skepticism is well earned, but mm-hmm. always looking for, okay, what's going to go wrong here? Even when it looks like things are going good, people are thinking, okay, what, you know, how is this going to go bad? And so when Mo Linguist leaves, I think there are a lot of people who felt like, you know, okay, this is what we were waiting for. Like, you know, right, this felt too good to be true. Something with Michigan right, football, something bad is always around the corner, right?
Right, yeah.
So when he left to take that job at Buffalo, which, I don't think you can blame the guy for taking a head coaching job, even though he'd only been at Michigan for a couple months. You know, when he left, I think a lot of Michigan fans, from what I saw, were feeling pretty discouraged about that right, turn of events. But, you know, I think you have to give Michigan and Jim Harbaugh some credit for, you know, not seeming to be blindsided by that. Exactly. It seemed like they took a situation that could have ended badly, and they found a way to spin it into, you know, if not a positive, at least something that you come out of feeling pretty good about it.
It was a really interesting situation because, like you noted, you know, the Linguist hire, when they hired him, I think so many people, you know, fans or supporters behind the scenes, whatever, were like really high on that one because it was like a departure in some ways from some hires that he's made in the past. Like when he's had position coach jobs open in the past and there's been obvious candidates, that you're like, this guy is a proven recruiter, and maybe he's a younger coach that doesn't have quite the track record yet in terms of teaching and everything else, but like the guys like him. Devin Bush Senior is always the example that I come back to, where like the secondary job comes open and it's like, hey, the safety job's open. Like Devin's on staff. You know what I mean? Like all these kids in Florida loved him. He helped you get kids, all this, like it made so much sense. And then they just wouldn't do it because Harbaugh often valued that. Like, I need a guy who can teach football. It has to be a football teacher. That has to be the chief thing above everything else. Recruiting is going to be secondary, and it's not going to be like the chief reason for, you know, me making this hire or filling this job. With a guy like Linguist, you got both. So I think people saw that and they were like, hey, this is a little different from what we've seen. And then he leaves. And I understood the immediate panic from fans who were like, oh God, this is just going to be, he's going to go hire a guy from the NFL who doesn't know how to recruit and has to be taught how to recruit. He's going to be a great coach. He's going to be a great teacher, but it's not going to work. And then I guess the thing that we sort of knew that I guess the general fans didn't was that the staff has changed to a point where you have guys like Ronald Bellamy and Courtney Morgan and people that are here that were already telling Harbaugh at the time, like, look, if we lose Mo Linguist, you have to hire Steve Klingscale. Like, it has to be, this is who we have to go get, because he recruited Will Johnson. He knows a lot of these guys that we're already recruiting. He knows guys on staff. He should probably already be on the staff. So please listen to us. And he did. And like, I think that for me, that is different. That for Jim Harbaugh to take the word of younger coaches on staff over something else, maybe, to me, that was noted. I don't know about you, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, you know, Jim Harbaugh has done some things this offseason that he absolutely needed to do, but some things that couldn't have been super easy for him.
Right.
And I think even though, you know, I think it's certainly legitimate to have some uncertainty about how all this is going to translate when you change so much in the span of one offseason, I think you also have to give Jim Harbaugh credit for doing the things that needed to be done. And the way I looked at the Steve Klingscale thing is, look, you can say it's not a great omen for Michigan to lose a guy that you just hired, who was a pretty integral piece of what you were doing this offseason. But a program that was just totally dysfunctional wouldn't be able to go out and in the span of 3 or 4 days,
a weekend,
hire the guy who is the consensus top choice, you know, the number one guy out there. I mean, I think if Steve Klingscale had been on the staff originally in that spot that had, Michigan fans would have been great with that.
I agree, because you know, you'd already have Will Johnson.
So you know, I even though there are certainly legitimate reasons to be unsure about what the future holds for Michigan, trust me, we all know that, I think we've also seen signs in this offseason, and hiring Steve Klingscale is one of those signs that, you know, this program still has some pull. Like, it's not just a rudderless ship. Like, there are areas where Michigan is doing the things that Michigan should be doing, which, you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to translate to a great season, but I think it's worth, you know, it's worth taking into account when we look at where the program is.
It just makes so much more logical sense based on where the game is at today and where college football sort of operates. And it's like, we've talked about this so many times, and it's like, I feel like a broken record a lot. And yeah, the moves are late. Like, he's late on a lot of this stuff. And that's been a thing with Harbaugh, and that's been part of the problem with why they're in the situation they're in. But like Austin just said there, and you know, people who've listened to my shows over the years know this, like they're every off season for the most part, I would say not every off season, but like a lot of these over the years there've been these weird examples where Harbaugh is going to have to fire a guy or get rid of a guy or make a decision on something that he probably doesn't want to do. And he does it every time. The decision to hire Mike Hart, right? Like, Mike Hart talked shit on Jim Harbaugh 15 years ago as a player, right? Mike was a kid, he was a player, whatever. If you think for 30 seconds that 5 years ago Jim Harbaugh wouldn't have cared about that, then you're in la-la land. That would have bothered him. It would have stuck in his craw. This is him saying, like, look, it probably still bothers me that Mike Hart, because he's a competitor. That's who Jim Harbaugh is. But he said, I don't care. We've got to fix this place, and he's a great coach, and he needs to come in here and fix it. To me, that sort of stuff speaks to growth, and it speaks to someone evolving, but it's also, like Austin said, like, is it enough? And that's the billion-dollar question here, and that's the one that I think we're still trying to get our heads wrapped around.
Yeah, moving forward, I think it's pretty obvious that this program's got to be bigger than Jim Harbaugh.
You know, yes.
There was nobody bigger than Jim Harbaugh when he came here. You know, Michigan was Jim Harbaugh initially. And I think the realization that a lot of people have come to, including probably Jim Harbaugh himself, is that it's got to be bigger than that. You know, if it's going to work going forward, Jim Harbaugh could be part of the solution. But it can't just be, this is Jim Harbaugh's program and we're doing it Jim Harbaugh's way.
Right.
And we're going to just keep banging our head against the wall until it works. I think everybody has realized that, okay, if he's going to get this thing back on track, they got to do it a little bit different way. And they got to, you know, bring in some people who, you know, like you said, maybe, you know, maybe in the past, egos might have clashed.
Right.
There would have been a sense of you know, nobody's going to step on Jim Harbaugh's toes here. And I think they've just had to put that all aside and say, you know what, we got to get the best guys in here and we got to, you know, we got to let them do what they do. This can't be like Jim Harbaugh, you know, everybody fitting into Jim Harbaugh's mold. This has to be, you're here because you do something that Jim Harbaugh doesn't do. And you have a perspective that's totally different than his. And that's what that's what Michigan needs.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And that's smart hiring. I mean, that's how you assemble a staff, I think, in today's, you know, sort of framework of how the sport works and everything else. But I mean, like for Harbaugh, I mean, you could go back to the day he came here and there was something he said in his opening press conference, because you go back to the time and it was, and I just mentioned the Mike Hart thing, but like Lloyd Carr was part of that conversation too, because Lloyd was, you know, the coach at the time and Jim was at Stanford and he was talking smack and all that sort of thing. And he was doing what he was doing. But Jim's thing at the day when he got here was like, look, you know, Lloyd, Coach Moeller, all these people, like, I'm going to lean on you guys for advice. You guys are part of the family. If I need help, I'm going to ask you for it. And like, we're all part of the family here. We're all trying to go in one direction. And I think, like you said, Austin, over time, that family became more about, you know, it was the Harbaugh family and it was less about the Michigan family. And I think that this has been an example of Jim Harbaugh listening to people in the Michigan family, so to speak, that are telling him, we want this to work. We want you to be here when it works, but you need to start leaning on people that we have that are willing to help, that can help, and that can do things like you just said that you can't do. And that's, I think, what's happening here, and we'll see if it's enough. But yeah, I think it's a good start.
And I think, you know, Steve Klinkscale really fits into what the theme of Michigan's offseason has been, which is they got to get back to their roots. They got to recruit the Detroit area. Mm-hmm. They need to get back into Ohio a little bit, and they got to bring in guys who have good relationships with, you know, with the high school coaches in this area. And, you know, Ron Bellamy's hire was, you know, what kind of opened the door for that. Mike Hart is respected among the Detroit coaches. And Steve Klinkscale, you know, he's been a thorn in the side of Michigan and Michigan State. He's gotten kids out of this area for Kentucky. Right. You know, talking to some coaches around the area, you know, they said basically like Steve Klinkscale was the guy who would know there was a good player in Michigan's backyard before Michigan knew that.
Exactly.
And that was
what a quote.
I mean, that was kind of the, yeah, that was the problem for Michigan, is that sometimes they were late on some guys who should just sort of be no brainers if you're Michigan. And so, you know, I think you have to say they've done the things that they needed to do, and we'll see, you know, how quickly that pays dividends for them or if it pays dividends for them. But, you know, Steve Klinkscale just, you know, perfectly fits, I think, with the whole theme of Michigan's off season, which is you got to get back to basics. And you got to get the guys in your backyard. And, you know, there's certain guys who you say he should really be at Michigan. And
those
guys can't be going somewhere else and saying, yeah, Michigan didn't really recruit me that hard. I think that's the thing. That's the thing that I don't think we're going to see as much anymore.
Yeah, this to me was exactly the same vibe. And even though it's a little different because Ron and Mike Hart played at Michigan, but it was the same type of vibe. Like you just said, like, he needs to be here. Like, he has relationships in Detroit. If you talk to coaches And, you know, we've heard over the years, guys like Jermaine Corwell, you know, make the comments he's made, and a lot of them ruffle feathers. But like, when you really think about some of those sometimes, and some of them, you know, even he can get carried away with some of it, but some of it, there are truths in there like that you can't argue with. And if you asked someone like Jermaine today, what do you think of Steve Klinkscale and Ron Bellamy? He would say that I think Michigan just knocked out of the park, because he would say both those guys are going to be able to come into my building and they'll know everything that they need to know about my roster because they will have been here and they will have scouted it for years and all that sort of thing. So I think that all the things that we've talked about for 5 or 6 years that people have tried to make excuses for, well, they're just mad and no one knows why they're mad. So it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Like, who cares? Like, no, it does matter. Like, if high school coaches in Detroit are mad at you, or not mad, but like are confused at what you're doing, that matters. And you need to be able to repair that and fix it. That's what's happening here. But again, this stuff, you know, Steve Klinkscale was on the docket for a job here, what, 2 years ago? So, you know, those are things that add up over time. And it's like, you're in a good spot now, it seems like, in terms of cohesion and everything else, but is it going to work on the field? And that's, I guess, the million-dollar question. Or will you have enough time to sort of see all this thing kind of come together? I guess that'll be what we have to wait and see on.
Yeah, I go back to talking to some of those high school coaches right after the season, before a lot of the changes with the staff. And the thing they said is basically that they didn't always understand what Michigan's plan was.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't clear to them. And, you know, what they felt like is, hey, we just want, you know, we want somebody who can kind of communicate to us what you're looking for. What's your big picture? You know, build that relationship and build that trust with the, you know, with the high school programs in the area. And I think that you can see now with the changes, not only with the coaching staff, but with the recruiting department, it certainly seems like that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
To build a recruiting department that, you know, looks a little more like kind of what the modern picture of that is in college football. So, you know, obviously it starts with Courtney Morgan coming in as director of player personnel, which is a new role, I think, that takes some of what Matt Dudek was doing. There have been some other kind of internal changes. It seems like they've sort of split off director of player personnel, director of recruiting. Then they recently hired Christina DeRuiter from Vanderbilt, and she's going to be the director of on-campus recruiting, planning visits. So when I look at all this, it seems to me like Matt Dudek may have been doing like three different jobs.
Right. Yeah.
And it's probably better for everybody now that they've split some of those things off. And maybe, you know, when people talk about, you know, organization and wanting to see more organization, maybe it will help in that sense, that it seems like, you know, this organizational structure, just looking at it, it makes a little more sense to me. It looks a little more like something that, you know, fits the modern environment of recruiting and all the different moving parts that you have with it.
Oh yeah. Like anything else. I mean, you know, in football, it's all become specialized. So, I mean, like everything has become like, you know, we've seen this happen over time when, you know, these departments began realizing that graphics could be leveraged or, you know, whatever, like any little thing that social media, all the stuff that we've seen sort of happen in real time as we've watched it kind of develop and grow, like recruiting has become specialized, just like football training and everything else. Like, and the head coach needs to be the final pass recruiter on your staff. Like, Jim Harbaugh does not need to be the person who's out in front at everybody's high school, you know, telling everybody that I'm here to get your, you know, that's not how recruiting is done in 2021. Like, your staff needs to be able to go, like we said, with a guy like Klinkscale, to have those relationships, to find guys before anybody else can find them. Bring me good players, I'll close them. Like, that's how recruiting is done. That's how it's done at the biggest places. Like, if you talk to kids who were recruited by Ohio State, they'll always tell you, like, if you weren't Jeff Okuda, you weren't getting time with Urban Meyer on an on-campus visit. That's how it was. Like it or not, that's how it was. So, like, those type of things are structured in a way that, like, Michigan just didn't have it. I think you just said it best. Like, Dudek was probably doing 4 or 5 jobs. Sean McGee was probably doing 4 or 5 jobs. And, like, now you have a situation that just makes more logical sense. Like, Courtney Morgan's worked in this industry for quite a long time. He's a younger guy. He's seen how this thing has developed. And I think he understands the structure of how it needs to look probably better than what you had here prior.
And one thing I think is important about Courtney Morgan too, when you look at his bio, he has experience in college football, recruiting departments, personnel departments. He also has experience in the professional world, in the NFL world, with marketing and endorsements and things like that. And I think that's going to become a much bigger part of it as we enter into the world of NIL and yeah. players. You know, for players now, it's not just how can you get me to the NFL? It's also how can you help me, you know, build my value
right.
while I'm on your campus? What, you know, what can Michigan do for a high school player who, yeah, of course wants to play in the NFL. Every high school recruit pretty much wants to play in the NFL, but they're also going to want to maximize their marketing and branding opportunities, going to want to maximize their platform. Mm-hmm. And you have to have an answer for that.
Right.
Your answer can't just be, hey, come play for us. We're going to make you a good player. We're going to win some games. The rest of it will take care of itself. Like, maybe that used to be the pitch, but that can't be the pitch anymore. And I think that there's a recognition here, you know, that has to be part of it. Like, when you look at the attrition that Michigan has had, yeah. and the turnover and all the players in the transfer portal, you have to ask, like, what was the plan for those players? What was communicated to them?
Exactly.
And then what went wrong there, basically, that they decided they didn't see a future at Michigan? You know, I mean, transfers happen. They're going to continue to happen. It's not necessarily an indictment on anybody when a player leaves, but when you have the volume of turnover that Michigan has had, I think it makes you ask, like, what is Michigan really doing to yeah. create a plan for every single player who comes through that door and then be able to show them the progress they're making toward those goals? And it feels like with these changes with the
right.
recruiting department, maybe they're getting closer to a place where they have that kind of coherent plan in place.
Yeah. And I think the thing that frustrates or has frustrated people, you know, that are familiar with how all this works behind the scenes and that sort of thing, when they're just observing it, is that Michigan has a ton to offer in all these departments. Like, Michigan has a ton to offer with regard to NIL, all this stuff that we hear about now these days with, you know, players, you know, what about this? What about this? Michigan actually has answers for most of that stuff. Like, Michigan's positioned. And if you talk to people that would know, they're positioned, I would think, as well as anybody or better than most, like 98% of the country. Like, if you come there, your chances of making more money via NIL would be higher there than probably most places. But the problem has been is like they've struggled to clearly communicate that. Like, that's mm-hmm. clearly what the disconnect is. So you see somebody like, you know, Courtney Morgan hires Christina DeRuiter to do all on-campus recruiting. I don't know what her exact job will be, but I'm sure it'll be specialized in a role that's like, okay, this is now your, you know, if this player or family member or whatever has a question about X, Y, or Z, like, she's going to have an answer every single time. Every single time. There will be no disconnect or like, well, hang on a minute, I need to ask seven other people, right? Like, that's the stuff that we're talking about. And I think that's the stuff that Harbaugh wasn't seeing. And I think that if you really think about it, I don't blame him. How is he supposed to see all this stuff? You're mm-hmm. in charge of all of this. You need your people underneath you sort of relaying that message as clear as humanly possible, especially when you have a coach who is not a clear communicator. And I think that's the disconnect. That's what was happening. And I think they've gone a long way to fixing that this offseason. I think they've been positive steps. I will say that it's all been encouraging so far.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about sort of the old model of what college football offered, it was about, we're going to get you a degree, you know, mm-hmm. at Michigan. It's like, you're going to walk away with this Michigan degree, you know,
right.
which is this valuable commodity. And then we're going to put you in the NFL. And look, Jim Harbaugh has done a nice job of putting
yeah.
players in the NFL. If you want to talk about what Michigan can sell, you can look back at the guys who have been drafted over the last few years. Like, even if Michigan hasn't been putting a bunch of guys in the first round, like, if you come to Michigan and you work hard, you're going to have an opportunity to get drafted. So that, you know, that's part of it. And that, you know, the Michigan degree, if you get your degree, that certainly counts for something. I'm certainly not saying it's worthless.
Right.
I'm just saying it's got to be a bigger picture than
right.
that now. Like, we're recognizing in college sports, the whole like education for labor trade-off, like, there's got to be a little bit more to balance out that equation. And as a program, you got to be able to sell that. You
right.
got to be able to sell to players what you can offer beyond just, you know, coming in and getting your degree. And Michigan has, like you said, a lot to offer there. You know, when
oh,
you look
ton.
At the
yeah.
size of the, you know, the size of the platform that comes for players playing at Michigan, if if the whole program really can, you know, embrace that and get on board with that, it's something they can sell, but you do have to sell it. It doesn't just sell itself, right?
Right. It doesn't sell itself. And I think that that's the thing Michigan, and this isn't just a Jim Harbaugh thing. This is a Michigan thing. That's a thing Michigan in general over the last 10 years has really, you know, been slow, I think, slower, I think, to sort of adapt to. Like, you now are in a situation in 2020, 2021, whatever you want to call it, 2015, modern world, where you have a lot more competitors for the space that you're operating in than you did 25 years ago. And you have to sell yourself. You have to be out there. You have to be clear. You can't just walk into a room. And we talk to these guys all the time, and it's like, well, we don't just walk into a room. And it's like, well, yeah, you kind of do. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what you do when you want to boil it all down. And it's just like, you know, I get it with the old school coaching mentality where it's like, they don't agree a lot of times with some of this stuff. Like, a college scholarship should be enough. It should be enough. Me coming into your house and telling you, like, I'm offering you a scholarship to University of Michigan, and I'm offering you access to this network of people that when you're done playing is going to get you a job. That should be enough. Oh, hey, you can disagree with it. It's not enough. You need to give people more. Yeah. Whether you agree with it or not is not relevant. Like, that's the thing these coaches, some of these older guys, they have to understand it, or it's not going to last for them, because, like, things change now so fast. Everything's going so fast. And, like, if you don't agree with the change, fine. But, like, maybe you can work on that once they get here. But until they get here, that doesn't mean anything. You gotta be able to roll with the punches better. And I think Michigan's in a situation now where at least they should be nimble enough to do that. Before we wrap up today, a short episode today. Also, I know there was news that came out this week. Governor Whitmer here in Michigan had announced, I believe in June, that all outdoor, you don't have to wear a mask, or what is it? All outdoor things can be back in business.
Yeah. I believe, if I remember this correctly, June 1st, the outdoor capacity limits are lifted. And then July 1st, basically all of the statewide COVID-19 mandates are lifted. So that's right on track.
In theory, that, you know, we should expect Michigan State. I don't think they've said anything officially, but it seems like, you know, it's possible that Michigan Stadium will be full this fall, or at least mostly full, I guess. I think that seems to be a fair assumption at this point.
Yeah, we knew that they were planning for full capacity. Mm-hmm. That is what they had said. And then there was an announcement after the governor's announcement, basically saying, you know, there's nothing standing in the way right now of a full house when football season gets here, which is great news. And frankly, I've never been happier to be wrong. I guess thinking back like 4 or 5 months ago, I agree, saying, you know, let's kind of keep our expectations in check here. There's going to be fans in the stands. That's great news. Maybe it won't be full capacity. Maybe it'll be 50%. Maybe it'll be 75%.
Yeah.
But right now, I think you have to say, like, something to feel good about, right? Like, vaccines have been widely available. We're on track for a normal college football season opener at Michigan. And that's
caught that
after everything everybody's been through. That's a nice thing to say.
That will be a fun day if we can finally get there. I will say that. I think that that's something that everyone, whether you're angry at the direction of the football program, whatever, I would say that whatever day, we saw that the game times are starting to be announced again. You saw Washington, it will be a primetime game, of course, right? That, it's not college football season until Michigan starts its season at midnight Eastern time. But in any event, like, I don't give a shit. I'll be there at midnight. And we'll be there until 3 a.m. if all the fans can be there. So, like, that's the stuff that we see coming out that's been encouraging and exciting. And I tell you, I think a lot, Austin, about, like, last May. And I'm just how we looked at the summer last May. This will be quite a bit different. I think, you know, it seems like maybe in June you'll be able to see those freshmen will be able to come in. It'll feel like a more normal off season. I'm excited actually for, normally I'm tired in August and I get like, I don't want to do this in August. And I think this August I'll be a little more excited because I think it'll feel normal again.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever looked forward to media days, but I might actually be looking forward to it this year.
Yeah.
It's
might not, like, be the worst thing.
Just the chance to stand around in a ballroom with a bunch of other people. It didn't used to really get the juices flowing that much, but this year, if we do that, that'll be nice.
Well, we'll see how it all goes. Don't want to count our chickens before they hatch here, but hopefully we'll be able to see all of you fine people in Michigan Stadium and Spartan Stadium this year at Ford Field, everywhere else. And that'll do it for this week. Also, we got anything else? Anything else going on? I don't think there's much happening here.
You ready to go on vacation? Yeah. I saw you were on parent duty this week. So yeah, it's the time for that, right?
There is no vacation when you're on parent duty, though. You know that you get those days off, and it's actually sometimes worse somehow. So we'll see how it goes. But either way,
yeah. Great respect for all of the people who do that as a full-time job, because that is tough work.
Absolutely. So in any event, that'll wrap it up for this week. We'll see what the schedule holds for next week and going forward, but we'll have podcasts throughout the summer as this thing goes forward. Brendan will be in and out with golf, but Austin and Colton are around. I'm around, of course, and we'll figure out how we go with vacation schedules and everything else. So for Austin, Brendan, Colton, everybody else, I am Nick. We'll talk to you later.
Happy farewell to the county, the place where